Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the first meeting of the Policy and Implementation Working Group Team today on the 21st of August 2013. On the call today, we have Gillian Lopp, Olga Cavalli, Alan Greenberg, Jeff Newman, Klaus Stoll, Philip Moano, Annick Manskalesi, Maureen Cogley, Wolf Mervin, Avi Doria, Michael Graham, Eric Brennan-Williams, Chuck Gomes, Becky Burr, J. Scott Evans, and Holly Reich. We have apologies from Tom Barrett, Kieran Mullen-Showerville, and Tim Rees. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Lars Hoffman, Glenda Saint-Giry, Julia Charvolin, and myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Hello, Becky Burr here.
Hey, Becky. Everyone, this is... Hello, everyone. Welcome. This is Jeff Newman. I'm the GNSO Council Liaison to the Policy and Implementation Working Group. I guess that makes me the interim chair until we can elect a more permanent chair, which hopefully will be later on in this meeting now that there have been some volunteers, some gracious volunteers, or other people that were volunteered and people who have subsequently accepted. This is a very large group for a working group, and I think that's great. I think it's good to see a lot of participation. There's certainly a lot of interest in this subject. There was a lot of healthy debate over the last several months on this subject, and I'm sure there'll be healthy debate going forward. So I've put out a revised agenda that I sent around maybe about 18 hours ago or so. And I'll go through that agenda. Does anybody have any additions? It's being displayed for those of you that are on Adobe on the right-hand column. Does anybody have anything that they want to add to the agenda? Marika, you have something you want to add?
Yeah, it is, Marika. Nothing to add on the first item, basically, that there's still some outstanding statements of interest. So just to encourage people that have not done so yet to complete their statements of interest.
Yes, thank you. I was going to get to that. So statements of interest should be filed by everybody as soon as the group starts. I will admit I have to make a couple updates to my statement of interest, but everybody please get those in as soon as you can. So what we thought we would do and what usually happens on the very first call of a working group is that we go around the group and just introduce ourselves, where we, if we're representing a particular stakeholder group or constituency or participating as an individual, just to state that, and maybe some interesting, you know, what you're interested in, particularly in this group, and any skills or anything you feel like you can add to this group. I'll start with myself. My name's Jeff Newman. I am the Vice President of Business Affairs at New Star, which means I'm responsible for the registry line of business, including the new GTLD implementation. I am also a member of the GNSO Council from the Registry Stakeholder Group and serve on the Registry Stakeholder Group XCOM. In this group, I'm just participating. I'm not an official GTLD Registries Group representative. I'm participating as a council liaison, which means that I may offer some of my own personal views, but in general, I will leave the registry stakeholder group views to the other registry stakeholder group members that are present in this group. I am very interested in this subject. This has been kind of a subject that I've been paying attention to for a number of years. I think that this really gets to the root or the heart of the multi-stakeholder model. And I think that it's important to preserve the bottom-up process in policy development, but I also strongly believe in the making sure that implementation does have a multi-stakeholder process associated with it as well. So with that, I think the easiest way would be to go kind of in alphabetical order from Adobe, and then I'll hit the people on the phone. So the first one is Alan. Alan Greenberg.
That's not fair.
Sorry.
All right. I'm Alan Greenberg. I'm on the ALAC Advisory Committee. I'm the ALAC liaison to the GNSO and a work group groupie. I guess I have feelings very similar to Jeff. I think the original source of this working group, when the topic tended to be policy versus implementation, is and was a complete red herring. I think the issue is developing processes so we can have multi-stakeholder input as long as there is substantive decisions to be made which will affect those stakeholders, and separate implementation separate what we used to call implementation and make it that is where there's no direct input, and make it just the mechanical part of the implementation. And I look forward to coming up with terminology which will allow us to say that clearly without stumbling. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Next on the list, and I apologize for any names I may not pronounce correctly, but is it Amar? Are you on the call?
I just joined.
Yeah, so what we're doing is, I apologize, that's probably not fair to put you on the spot. We're just introducing ourselves, if we represent a particular group, or if we're just here as an individual, and just to say just a little bit about why we're interested.
Okay. My name is Amr El-Sadr. I'm from Egypt originally, but studying in the north of Norway in Tromsø right now. My background is in e-health and telemedicine. I'm doing a master's degree in that right now over here. I'm a member of the non-commercial users constituency, NCUC. I have been a member of that constituency since late 2010. I'm relatively new to the ICANN PDP. I'm a member of the THIC Who Is PDP working group. I also represent NCUC on the SCI. This is my second working group. I guess I should probably mention, I should probably update my SOI on this, but I'm starting to do research for my master's thesis, and that will be on how DNS policy at ICANN might or might not affect the future of e-health and telemedicine. Thanks.
Great. Thank you very much. Next to Avri.
Hi. Avri Doria. I'm a member of NCSG. I'm a member of ATRT2. In NCSG, I am on the policy committee at the moment, though I'm not participating here as, per se, an NCSG representative. I may occasionally prefix arguments by, this is my understanding of where we might be at, or et cetera. So I will be going back and forth to NCSG on various issues. This is an issue I care a bunch about, I've thought about, I write about, and in terms of multi-stakeholder participatory processes and, you know, how to make it work correctly within ICANN so that at no point do we not have a participatory process. I guess that's about it.
Thanks, Avri. Chuck.
Thanks, Jeff, and thanks for being the interim chair on the GNSO liaison. I represent VeriSign in policy matters in the ICANN world and elsewhere. Do that especially in the registry stakeholder group. Now, the registry stakeholder group has not yet identified a primary representative to this group, but that will be done. At the same time, there will be other members that will participating, and any of us probably will communicate registry points of view and questions. So you'll hear from us more on that later. I won't repeat what others have said, but I think this is a critical work, and I guess the best illustration of why it's so important is the board rationale in the independent review decision that they made recently. Stating basically that if it was implementation, they didn't have to go back to the GNSO. Now, that's my own paraphrasing. I'm being a little unfair, but I think that illustrates the importance of this group. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. EBW, which I believe is Eric, correct?
That's correct, Jeff. Thank you very much. I'm Eric Bruno-Williams. I'm participating in an individual capacity. I've been involved in the policy and implementation of name to address mapping since the host table period at SRI. I think the implementation versus policy distinction is unfortunately loses the importance of time. That is, we originally had the idea that we would have some degree of competition, and one could argue that any form that that takes is mere implementation of that policy decision. But, of course, we've been struggling with that issue for the better part of 15 years. So I think it's sufficient. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Next on the list is Edward Morris.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. This is Edward Morris. I come from the NCUC, where I'm on the executive committee. And I actually have held a pen for the reconsideration motion Chuck was just talking about. And my interest in PI became quite intense when I read what we get back from the board. It was a bit of a shock. So I hope we can make some progress on the issue and actually define what these terms mean.
Thank you. Gideon?
Hey, good evening, people.
Good evening.
Okay, this is Gideon Rupp, and I'm pretty new with the working groups. This will be my first working group, but I follow up with what happens with ICANN and all the working groups and what happens in the ALAC. And I'm happy to be here, and I hope that I learn a lot and as well as contribute in this undertaking. Thank you very much.
Great. Welcome, Gideon, and it's good to have you here, and we always welcome newcomers. And I know it could be tough here, but you have a great bunch of people on this group, and I'm sure any one of them will be willing to help you out through this process. Greg, you're next.
Hi, this is Greg Shatton. I'm a member of the intellectual property constituency. I've served on several working groups over the last several years, but finally made it to my first real ICANN meeting just a couple months ago in Durban. My interest in policy and implementation, extends to, the importance of those concepts and or maybe the spectrum of those concepts and how, relates to the multi-stakeholder process and what the ICANN board and staff do and how various stakeholder groups interact with them. I would say, however, that I think that the concern about what the board had to say or what the request for reconsideration ruling had to say is probably a little bit overblown, but nonetheless, that doesn't make this topic any less important or, our understanding and recommendations on how policy and implementation and multi-stakeholderism and ICANN board and staffism interact. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Holly?
Holly Raich, and I'm chair of AP RALO and a member of ALAC. Perhaps most relevantly, I was chair of the drafting team that developed this charter that we're all working toward. Just to comment on where we got to, we started off thinking we needed to define policy versus implementation, and we moved on a bit, as Greg will attest, to saying it's perhaps more important to understand what processes are involved and to ensure that the relevant stakeholders, and that may be everybody, often is everybody, are involved where something impacts them. So we really moved on from trying to work on definitions, which we realized would be very difficult to come to actually looking at what processes are available and how to make sure that everybody's there. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly, and I do want to thank the drafting team for the work that they've done. And when we talk a little bit about the background and what this group will do, if you all can keep me honest and interject when you have some additional comments and thoughts that came through the drafting team. If I can go then, I'll skip myself. Okay, Michael Graham.
Thanks. Michael Graham. I'm a member of the IPC and International Trademark Association. I'm a practicing attorney with a number of clients who have domain names or have applied for the new GTLDs. I'm also, as of September, an adjunct faculty at DePaul School of Law, where part of our exploration is on the domain name system and the ICANN process. I've served on one working group, and that was on the Consumer Trust Metrics Working Group, and found that stimulating and fascinating, and also one that tested what could be done realistically. And through that experience and participating in ICANN and the various speeds by which different decisions have been made and the ways that have been made, become interested in this whole area of how policy is developed and then applied in the real world. I suppose my personal concern is in finding ways that in this increasing size of both the number of domain names and the importance of ICANN in the internet ecology, the whole system can support the multi-stakeholder process without paralyzing the application of the process and actually getting things done.
Thanks, Michael. Nick?
Thanks, Jeff. This is Nick from name.com, involved in the Registrar Stakeholder Group. This is my first working group, although I have been fortunate enough to go to a few ICANN meetings. The personal interest in this is definitely coming from looking for a consistency and an efficiency standpoint from a registrar perspective. So this is my first one. Really excited to kind of dive in, and looking forward to working with you guys.
Thanks, Nick. Olivier?
Yes. I'm Olivier Kwambi from Togo. I'm an NPOP member and CGS member since 1 year, and I'm a newcomer on this working group as a policy and implementation working group. I try to represent Africa and present Africa issues on this working group, please.
Thank you. Olga, if you can hear us, hopefully.
Hello, hello everyone. Hello, Jeff. My name is Olga Cavalli. I am from Argentina. Presently, I am the GAC representative for Argentina. I also a university teacher. I was a GNSO council member for 4 years. I participated in several working groups, and I am very interested in this working group, especially in the reviewing the implementation processes and the delineation of this process related with the multi-stakeholder model. I think it's very important. I won't repeat what others have said. I'm very happy to meet many old friends from the GNSO working groups and councils, so I'm happy to participate in this working group. Thank you.
Thanks, Olga. Your connection was it was a little quiet, so I'm not sure everybody heard you, but hopefully we can get that technical issue fixed. But welcome back, Olga. It's good to see you back in working groups.
Thank you.
Phil, you're next.
Hi. Thanks, Jeff. Everyone, this is Phil Morano. I'm a trademark and internet governance attorney with Katten, Mutian, and Rosenman in Washington, D.C. I'm an IPC member and an international trademark member. I work with Brian Winterfeld, also on this working group, and is representative on the GNSO Council. This is my first working group, but I've been attending ICANN meetings for several years and participated indirectly on a number of policy matters, including several of the more spirited policy and implementation discussions recently, covering things like IOC, RC, special protections, and the clearinghouse straw man solution.
Thanks, Phil. I am assuming, Becky, I think this is you. You're next.
Which is me? Am I confusing? This is Becky Burr. I'm the Deputy General Counsel and Chief Privacy Officer at Newstar. I've been involved in many working groups and a lot of discussions about policy and implementation, and I'm looking forward to this.
Thanks, Becky. And Wolf.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. My name is Wolf Knoben. I'm vice chair of the GNSO Council still, and I'm also involved in the SCI, the Standing Committee of Improvement Implementation. I was involved in the drafting team of this charter here. I'm with the, with the internet services provider and connectivity providers constituency, and as I'm a member of that, I did not get any specific directive from that constituency on how to deal with the matter here. So I personally, I'm interested in, as I was working with policy and implementation on council, as some of you did as well, I'm interested what we really did wrong in the past. Is there anything we did wrong?
Hello?
Yeah, that was interesting. Wolf, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Did you hear me?
I heard, except for the last 2 or 3 seconds.
Yes, so the last sentence was, you know, I'm very open to all opinions as I was working on the council with policy and implementation, so, and I'm curious about what we in the past did wrong and how we can improve. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolf. Anne, I noticed you're now on Adobe, so...
Yes, thank you. I finally got in. Thanks.
Great. If you want to go next...
Sure. This is Anne Aikman Scalise, and I am a member of the IPC. My involvement has been in the past as an alternate on the GNSO Standing Committee on Improvement Implementation, and I recently became the primary delegate. And my first ICANN meeting was San Francisco in, I think it was 2010, and that's actually where I first became interested in this topic, because I remember sitting in a room where Jeff and Marika and others were reviewing the changes to the PDP manual, which I thought were fascinating. I don't know. It was a lunchtime meeting, and there were a lot of, you know, not a lot of people out to lunch, but it's a topic I've always been interested in. My interest in this particular working group is mostly in the direction, I guess partly I would say because I'm primarily a transactional attorney in addition to being a trademark prosecution attorney, I'm interested in seeing how we can develop more smooth and effective working relationships in the balance between the GAC policy advice and our working group advice. Working on the communication between the board and the GNSO. That topic interests me not so much as a fight over what's between policy and implementation, but just, you know, continuing communication. This is probably more echoing Alan Greenberg's idea and comments that we need a smoother, more effective working policy and implementation machine at ICANN, and how can we, you know, promote that with balancing all the interests. That's my interest in this working group.
Thanks, Anne. And on the phone, Maureen?
Yes, hi, thanks, Jeff. I'm Maureen Cubberly. I'm a Canadian living in Canada, and I'm participating as an individual in this working group. I'm not aligned with any stakeholders other than that amorphous group that wants good governance everywhere. My involvement with ICANN started, back with Mike Roberts, a venerable name in ICANN history. I was working with the .ca registry before it became CIRA, and in, I guess, about 2000, I started attending ICANN meetings. I have served on the GNSO Council as a nominations committee appointee and have done some work in the past. That was back, I guess my involvement ended around 2006, 2007. And prior to that, I participated in the CCNSO in the early days of contractual negotiations. And these issues were present then, and they seem to have taken on even more life. I'm very interested in working in this, on this working group. My background has been in working with organizations as on both sides of the board table, as a CEO and a director, and often a board chair. And what ICANN is facing now may appear to be unique to ICANN, but I'm not sure it really is. I would like to second what Avery said about ensuring that involvement continues to be a key principle. And at the same time, one of the issues in the charter really caught my attention, which was one of the questions about considering policy and implementation as components or elements on a continuum rather than as a binary concept or concepts in opposition, something to that effect. And I think that that's something that I would really like to be involved in exploring. So thanks for the opportunity, and I look forward to working with all of you.
Thanks, Maureen. And I have Jay Scott.
Hello, this is Jay Scott Evans. I, for years, was involved in the leadership of the intellectual property constituency. I am a head of global brand, copyright, and domains at Yahoo, Inc. I am also Yahoo, Inc. through its subsidiary, Yahoo Domain Services, Inc. is also the owner and applicant for the .Yahoo and .Flickr applications. I am now a member of the business constituency, or rather I should say Yahoo, Inc. is. I am also a officer at the International Trademark Association and a member of the executive committee there. I was chair of their internet committee for several years and served on that committee for about 10 years. I was a member of the drafting committee that put together the UDRP. I was a member of the implementation recommendation team that put together the RPMs that are being implemented through the guidebook for the new GPLD program. I have worked with many members here on working groups. I chaired the working group guidelines working group. I have served as the primary representative for the IPC on the SCI, the Standing Committee on Improvements. I was a DNSO, Domain Name Supporting Organization, representative for the IPC back in the early iterations of ICANN several bylaw iterations ago. I'm interested in this topic because I think it's one that's plagued both the GNSO, the board, and the GAC for many years, and the organization is maturing to a point where there needs to be a coalescence and a consensus around how this is going to be handled, whether it be through definitions, whether it be through processes, or however. And I'm excited that we've got such a large people interested in this, and I hope we can do some great work.
Thanks, Jay Scott. Is there anyone on the phone that I did not get to? Okay, hearing none. Marika, since you're our primary staff person, I'll put you on the spot. Why don't you talk about yourself?
Sure. Hi, so my name is Marika Konings. I'm a senior policy director and a GSO team leader. I've been with ICANN since 2008, and I've supported many PDP working groups since then, as well as the working group that, or the work team that looked at the revised GNSO PDP, which Jeff was the chair at the time, as well worked with Jay Scott on the GNSO working group guidelines. So I'm also very familiar with some of the topics that are being discussed here, and together with some colleagues, was also the main author of the staff paper that we published on this topic, and very much looking forward to the discussions of the group.
Great. Thank you, Marika. I'm getting a little bit of kind of weird noise, but I don't know if everyone else is getting that too.
Yep. Yep.
I'm sure where that's coming from. Someone could look at that. Well, welcome, everyone. It's a great group of people, and we'll get to know each other well over the next several months, and we'll see how long this takes us to finish our work. And I know that there are a bunch of other people that are listed on the chart that is up on Adobe. We have about 32 volunteers so far. I'm sure that number will go up and will go down over time, but this is a good core group of people. So I'll go into a little bit of background and then talk about what this group is going to do, really mostly taking from the charter, go over a few things from the working group procedures and guidelines that Jay Scott was referring to, the group that he chaired, a little bit about the roles of the chair and other positions, and then we'll talk about the election of officers of the group and then next steps. So Marika has now put the charter up on the screen for those of you that are on Adobe, And just a little bit of background. You know, this topic really came up, or I should say it's been a topic that's been in the background for a while, but really started bubbling up from the new GTLD implementation, or the implementation of the new GTLD program. And there was a definitely an increased focus on which topics that were being addressed were actually policy versus which topics were implementation, and then different processes and procedures that were applied depending on what the issue is classified as. And in order to facilitate some of the discussions of this, you know, dividing line, if there was in fact a dividing line, ICANN staff did developed a draft framework that is included in the charter, or I should say the link is included in the charter, which I really encourage everybody to read. And it talked about a number of steps and criteria that might facilitate dealing with similar questions in the future. And also that staff paper identified a bunch of questions that should be considered by the community, and as well as some improvements. So, you know, what the charter says in the background section, which I think is important, it says that while developing a bright line rule as to what is policy or implementation, while that may not be possible, the hope is that by developing clear processes and identifying clear roles and responsibilities for different stakeholders, it will become easier to deal with these issues on a going forward basis and for, you know, ensuring broad participation and involvement. So following a number of discussions by the GNSO on this very topic, the GNSO Council had called for a drafting team to put together a charter. That charter was drafted and is now the one that you're looking at, which was approved by the GNSO Council at the last meeting in, I think it was approved at the last meeting in Durban.
Yep.
And so we're left with this charter. So as the charter talks about, you know, what this group is really responsible for doing is for developing at least this is the initial set, right? It's for developing a set of principles that would underpin any GNSO policy and implementation-related discussions, taking into account existing GNSO operating procedures. Two is a process for developing GTLD policy, perhaps in the form of policy guidance, such a new term, including criteria for when it would be appropriate to use such a process for developing policy other than a consensus policy, instead of using the GNSO policy development process in the bylaws. A framework for implementation-related discussions associated with GNSO policy recommendations. Four, criteria to be used to determine when an action should be addressed by a policy process and when it should be considered implementation. And finally, further guidance on how GNSO implementation review teams, as that is currently defined in the PDP manual, are expected to function and operate. There are a lot of terms in there that not everybody may be familiar with. There's a reference to PDP manual, which we should probably have a link. I'm not sure if that link is in the charter as well. We should have that link there to talk about that. So for more information on what you know what these mean, you go to the charter. There's a link that Marika had sent around earlier in the emails to that charter. And then just to dive a little bit deeper, really the recommendations are expected to provide a clear understanding of the potential goals and end states of the PDP and any alternatives to the PDP. It should improve the collection documentation of GTLD-related policies and best practices created by the GNSO, provide a better understanding of the transition between policy and implementation stages, with expected outcomes from each, provide a framework for implementation work that is predictable, consistent, efficient, and timely, and that includes appropriate multi-stakeholder feedback, and also includes guidance on how feedback from the policy apparatus is needed in the implementation process, and finally, to include mechanisms to adjust policy in response to learnings from the implementation work. That's, in general, the expectation of the recommendations coming out of this group will be. As this group works does more work. There could be additional recommendations, additional questions that the group wants to examine, but this is really just to kick the discussion off. As far as working group procedures and guidelines, there is a document called the GNSL Working Group Guidelines. Again, that's the group that Jay Scott had chaired. There's a link in the charter to that. But essentially, ICANN working groups are expected or will use, or do use, I should say, transparent and open processes. Meetings of the working group are recorded, and the recordings are made available to the public. The mailing list that we've set up is a mailing list that is archived and publicly available. And working group members are expected to submit statements of interest, as you all have been doing. Thank you very much for that. And the group uses a collaborative tool, a wiki tool, although I'm probably naming that wrong, but that you all have a link to from Marika. And again, the group is expected to follow all of the working group guidelines. And in the guidelines, kind of moving on to the roles, there are several roles that are laid out in the guidelines. There could be additional roles that are created if that's the intention. I know Michael Graham had sent a note earlier to the group saying that he was interested in possibly a vice chair position. And while that vice chair position is not one that is set forth in the working group guidelines, that doesn't mean we can't, as a group, create one or define it for this group. It's just one that's not in the guidelines at this point in time. So in the working group guidelines, the working groups call for a chair or co-chairs that are normally selected during the first meeting of the working group, which hopefully we will select that shortly. Although it doesn't, you know, if there is more discussion that's needed or time that's needed, then we can always have a follow-up or address that on the follow-up call. The working group can have co-chairs and vice chairs if it wants to have that. You know, that's up to the working group. The once selected, just to go over what the chair is supposed to do, the working group chair needs to be confirmed by the GNSO Council. Usually purely an administrative matter, usually put on a consent agenda. It's not something that the GNSO Council doesn't normally hasn't second-guessed the working group in its or working group selection of their chair, vice chairs, co-chairs, et cetera. The role of the chair is really to call meetings, preside over working group deliberations, and manage the process so that all participants have the opportunity to contribute and report the results of the working group to the GNSO. It's supposed to ensure representational balance on any sub-teams that are created throughout the work of the working group, if any, and ensure that there's outreach to attempt to use good efforts to get that representational balance. The chair is expected to enforce ICANN standards of behavior that are documented in the working group guidelines. And ultimately, the chair is tasked with, or co-chairs, are tasked with designating levels of support for policy positions. Examples of those are whether certain positions have full consensus, strong support, minority views, et cetera. All of these terms are defined in the working group guidelines, and there are appeals processes if anyone disagrees with the decision or decisions of the chair or co-chairs. The chair is intended to be a neutral role, and so if that ever comes into question, then you have the right to raise that as working group members to the chair or co-chairs, or there's a role of a GNSO Council liaison, which is my role, and it's my job to report to the GNSO Council on a regular basis on the progress of the working group, to assist the chair or co-chairs as required with you know, help on operational and procedural rules or anything that any questions that you have in relation to the charter or the mission of the group. And basically assisting if there are any issues that come up. And I'm expected to be neutral. I'm expected to monitor the discussion to the working group and assist and inform the chair and the working group as required. So if you if I do not engage in that well, or you have any questions, you can raise that to the chair, the co-chair. You can always raise it to me, and ultimately it'll get raised to the council if that's what needs to happen. As working group members, that's definitely is the most critical role of all of them. You're expected to contribute productively and drive the work forward. If you represent a constituency or stakeholder group, you're expected to make sure that the views of your respective group is being heard by the working group. And ultimately, although much of the work generally tends to be done by staff, working group members are expected to assist where possible in drafting of the policy positions and certainly helping out in any way that you can. And another extremely important role is the role of ICANN staff, Marika's role. Her role is defined in the working group guidelines as serving in both a secretariat role, which is, you know, for logistics and setting up the meetings and making sure the agendas are posted and doing all this wonderful stuff. But equally, if not more important, is the policy support function for really providing the working group assistance in a neutral manner, including drafting if required. And she is expected to, or NICAN staff is expected to, reflect faithfully the deliberations of the working group. From my own experience in working with ICANN policy staff, they are extremely invaluable, I would say, to the process, and have been, really carry on the bulk of the work, and very appreciative of all the work that ICANN staff actually does, much of which is behind the scenes, and you won't see it, but a lot of it you will. The last role that's defined in the working group guidelines is the role of experts. The working group may choose to call on experts if it desires on certain subjects, and there's a process for obtaining that expert advice and opinion. So that's something that's a tool that I will say is not often used by working groups, or it's certainly not often enough. I think that can play a valuable role in the process. So with that, sorry for the long contribution there, but we're expected to cover all of that. Are there any questions on the guidelines, the roles of working group members, the chair, et cetera, staff?
I have a question, Olivier from Togo.
Sure.
Okay. Yes? I would like to know how many working groups are you will be created.
So this group is a working group. It's only
how
one
many? Yes. How many working groups do we have?
Well, this working group may elect at some point to create sub teams or smaller working groups within the overall working group. That is to be decided by the group itself. There's no preordained number. It may be zero, it may be 10, there's no set number. But if your question is more general on how many working groups does ICANN have, a lot. I'm not sure exactly how many there are.
So I'm asking this because I would like to co-chair one of the working groups.
We have not yet decided that as a group that we will be creating sub-working groups. Are you volunteering for a chair of this group as a whole? Is that... Okay, I might be having some audio issues. So I see Mars... has his hand up.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I have a question about the working group wiki page. Typically, I could access working group wiki pages without on Confluence without having to log into Confluence. That has not been the case for this working group. I think it would be helpful to have open access to the page because it's especially helpful when sharing documents that the working group drafts with our constituencies or stakeholder groups. Was that done on purpose or will it change? I'd like to know. Thanks.
Sure. Marika has her hand raised. So, Marika, can you help with that?
Yeah, it is, Marika. Thanks, Amma, for pointing that out. I didn't realize that, indeed, in principle, all GNSO wikis are set up like that, that anonymous viewers can view and access all the information. It's only working group members that can actually edit information. So I'll look into that because it was definitely intended to be an open space where anyone can view what the working group is doing and see all the information that's available there. So thank you for pointing that out.
Okay, any other questions on the charter, on the roles, on the wiki? Okay, so with that, I note that we have 10, I don't remember if this was scheduled for an hour, hour and a half. I can't recall. Marika, do you?
Yeah, this is Marika. It's scheduled for 60 minutes.
Okay, so we have 10 minutes left to talk about election of a chair, co-chairs, and next steps. I will say that there have been a couple, and I've not looked at my email in the last hour or so. So I know that there were some nominations for chair. So I know I saw Michael Graham had sent in a note about interest in a vice chair. Jay Scott has volunteered. I know that Chuck Gomes. Is there anyone else that wanted to be considered? Sorry, I'm trying to flip back and forth between email and Adobe. It sounds like is there anyone else? So I have Jay Scott, I have Chuck, and Michael Graham. So Wolf and then Avery. And I should also point out, again, it's possible to do co-chairs. That may be something that the group prefers, and that may be what Wolf and Avery are commenting on. So Wolf? Wolf, I don't know if you're on mute.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Okay, thank you. So, I have just a question with regard to the chairs and or vice chairs. So because, I'm happy that we have a lot of candidates for that, but we should be at first in agreement that we should have vice chairs. I think that that's the first thing we should talk about that. So I'm in agreement to do so, but we formally, I would raise this point. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf. I think that's a good discussion item, and we seem to have people in the queue. So, Avery?
Yeah, thanks. It's Avery speaking. I would recommend that we've got, three good steps of volunteering. I would recommend that we go with two co-chairs. We've had two people complimentary, putting themselves forward. I think having both of them as co-chairs would be good. And I think having a vice chair who has volunteered to be a vice chair to work with them would be good. I think that this is going to be a very wide-ranging discussion. There's going to be a lot to track. And so I think having a good group working with the Secretariat, Marika, and all the policy people on this one would be a strength for the group. So, unless there are others that really want to be on here to do it, I think we've got a good group of volunteers. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. Michael.
Well, and I agree with Avery. I think Chuck and Jay Scott would be excellent co-chairs. My only interest in putting my hand up as a vice chair was that I am interested in assisting. I think this is a wide-ranging enough and important enough topic that having the experience of J. Scott and Chuck up there and others who are on the working group as co-chairs would be excellent, and simply offer my assistance either as a vice chair or, you know, if that becomes problematic, just in supporting them as may need be. I will hold my hand up for that, but I think they are both excellent nominees for the role.
Thanks, Michael. I actually, as the GNSO Council liaison, I second your statements. I think having... my personal opinion is having co-chairs and a vice chair for this large of a group makes a lot of sense, and I think you know, I think we have excellent candidates that have volunteered. So, does anyone just scanning through the Adobe? Does anyone have an issue with having two co-chairs and a vice chair? Let me start with that general question first. Okay, it doesn't look like anyone's got an issue with that. Great. And then let me ask about the people that have volunteered so I can relinquish my role, which is something I'm looking forward to doing as the interim chair. So does anyone – I should ask this by a call. Oh, sorry, Chuck, you want to make a statement? Chuck, can you hear me?
Okay.
Oh, there you go, Chuck. I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I was talking.
Yep.
I wasn't being heard. Okay, I wanted to point out that Olivi disagreed with this approach, I believe. He had his, unless that was a timing issue, he had put up a disagree mark on the... on Adobe Connect, so you might want to find out, call on him to see what his concerns are.
Thank you, Chuck. I didn't see that. Olivi, do you have any concerns with this approach?
You might ask him to do it by chat.
Yeah, if you're not able to do it by voice, is there a way you can type something in? Okay, well, not hearing an objection. I think, let me ask again on the candidates that have been put forward. By a show of hopefully those on Adobe can put a check mark for two co-chairs being J. Scott and Chuck and Michael Graham as the vice chair. If you could indicate by a showing of a check mark, that would be great. Okay, seems like it's filling out well. Does anybody, for those of you that are on the phone and not able to communicate on Adobe, does anyone have any objections with proceeding in that manner, with J. Scott and Chuck as co-chairs and Michael Graham as a vice chair?
Jeff, it's Maureen here. I have no opinion, I mean no objections. I do have an opinion. I think it's a great combination, and I heartily support it.
Great. Thanks, Maureen. Okay, so it looks like there's support out there for it. So congratulations to J. Scott and Chuck and Michael. I will submit your names to the GNSO Council for their confirmation at the September 5th is the next GNSO Council meeting. In the interim, you are a provisional co-chairs and a provisional vice chair until that's approved. In order to not put you all on the spot for the next agenda item, I'll cover the just topic of the next meeting. The generally working groups, and I'll let the chair make this, the chairs and the vice chair make a recommendation at the next meeting, but generally there are meetings every couple of weeks, usually at the same time so that people can get it on their schedules and it's consistent. If we'll send around emails, but it seems to me that if we can arrange for this time on a going forward basis, I don't know if this is too late for those in Europe and they just made the one-time accommodation. So, Marika, what do you propose? Do you propose sending around another doodle poll, or should we just ask if this is a good time and then see what kind of response we get?
Yeah, this is Marika. From a staff perspective, we prefer to stick with the time instead of having doodle polls after every meeting. So unless a lot of people indicate that they can't make it, but you know, I think this is by far the most popular time and date looking across the different dates we provided. So maybe we can just continue on this as a weekly schedule and basically review in a couple of meetings whether indeed we are lacking attendance or whether people are indicating that it doesn't work, or consider rotation, for example.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Anne, and then Chuck?
Yes, thanks, Jeff. It seems to me we might have had some audio problems where I believe that Olivier was volunteering as co-vice chair. Now, we didn't discuss, based on what I see in the chat, but we didn't discuss whether it was appropriate to have two vice chairs or not, but what I'm seeing, and in fact there are audio problems, is he did intend, says, yes, I'm volunteering as co-vice chair. Hello?
Sorry about that. I was talking, I was having my own mute problems, or audio problems. I was talking to mute. I didn't see that on the chat, so thank you for pointing that out. So let me, I will, does anybody have any comments or questions on that? I mean, I don't have any issues with that. I don't know if I want to throw that question to the new co-chairs, but it certainly sounds like Olivier would like to be a vice chair as well. It is a large group. Does anyone have any thoughts they care to express on that?
Well, I'm losing audio.
Nobody was speaking. So what I will do is, so let's take this let's take this back. We have our two co-chairs. So we have Jay Scott and we have Chuck. Maybe we can make this the agenda item, the first agenda item for the next meeting, because we're already running over. So what I will do is I will submit the names definitely for the co-chairs, and then I will say that there have been two volunteers for vice chair, and we will clarify at the next meeting the going forward basis. What I'm going to do is also propose that the next call be in 2 weeks. I'm not sure we need to start meeting weekly yet, although the co-chairs may choose to change that. I know we're ending vacation time, so hopefully in 2 weeks, it's the beginning of September, I think, people should be back from vacation. So I will propose this time for 2 weeks from today. The very first agenda item will be the vice chair issue, and then the co-chairs will take it from here. So 2 weeks, not next week, but 2 weeks on Wednesday at this same time. Is there any questions before we end, Chuck?
Just a suggestion, Jeff. This is Chuck. I think it'd be good if even the four of us, including the two vice chairs, would have a call or two and begin exchanging things before that meeting. So, Marika, if you can help us schedule that and get each of us our contact information. If we don't have it, I think I have most everybody's. Just a suggestion. So if there's no objections by the other three people, I think that would be a good idea.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Greg, did you have a question?
Just quickly, I wanted to suggest, you know, consideration of having calls either more often or longer calls, like maybe 90 minutes, because an hour goes by really quick. The IGO-INGO working group is doing two-hour calls every week, which is maybe a little too grueling, but given how meaty and kind of intellectual this subject is, I think that we should, you know, have time for kind of, you know, good, hearty back and forth on the call. So just a suggestion. Thanks.
Greg, I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I will ask that the co-chairs and co-vice chairs talk about that as well. And why don't we, just following on that recommendation, Marika, can we set up the next call in 2 weeks for an hour and a half? And then I will let the chairs and co-vice chairs decide whether to use the full hour and a half or to make a and whether to do calls every week or every other week. Okay, I thank everyone for... Yep, sorry.
Brian, can I quickly make a comment? I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to introduce myself earlier. I just wanted to say, if this is going to be something that happens every week for an hour and a half or 2 hours, I'd like to propose that the call be moved up in time, if that's not too much to ask. It's getting into the evening in Europe, and I think, you know, on a monthly or biweekly basis, it's okay. But if it's going to be every week for 2 hours, then that might eat into people's schedules a little bit.
Thanks, Brian. That's Brian Beckham. Chuck and Jay Scott, Michael and Olivier, you have that question before you. So you can consider that and make a recommendation to the group. I want to thank... Okay. Is there anyone with any last comments? Holly?
Just a last comment. If you change the time too much, I'd like to point out that Sydney time is going to be difficult, and if you start changing it, it's going to move from what is difficult to what's fairly impossible. So please don't change the time, or if you do, please send out a doodle, not for every call, but just for a doodle for when people are most comfortable. And remember, you've got to accommodate Australia as well. Thanks.
I think that's an excellent point. Thank you, for Holly, for bringing that to our attention. Okay, any last comments before? Oh, I got Michael and Chuck. All right.
Well, it's Michael. I was just going to ask very quickly, Holly, if we did expand the time to 90 minutes, would it be better to run 90 minutes later than now or begin half an hour earlier?
Look, I'm sitting in Boston right now. I'd have to go back to Sydney, figure out what time it is, and then figure out what time it's best. So a doodle, I think, on the basis that it's got a 90-minute call, would really give not only me a good time, but it would let other people in on just settling what time is best for them, and then we just don't doodle again. That becomes the time for the call. I think.
Good idea. Thank you.
Okay, Chuck.
Thanks. I'd like to request that staff provide us, as the co-chairs and vice chairs, a list of the time zones for the members of the group, so we could just look at that.
I think it's wacko.
I think that would be very helpful for us.
Okay.
That may require basically people sending us a note where they are. For some people I know, but I don't know for everyone where they are based or staying. So if you can send me a note, that would be helpful.
As best you can, Marika.
So co-chairs and co-vice chairs, I'm giving you your first difficult issue to work through, the first of, I'm sure, many. But thank you, everyone. I know we kept you over a little bit for a few minutes. The next call will be 2 weeks from today, at least tentatively scheduled for 2 weeks from today for 90 minutes. And I want to congratulate the chairs and co-chairs, and I look forward to taking my backseat and working as a working group member and as a liaison. So thank you, everyone, for the call.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.